Good evening. This is Archdeacon Steve West, the parish priest of St. Barnabas Parish in the Anglican Church and the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I welcome you to reflection on this 21st Sunday after Pentecost, proper 24, year A. Our readings today, Isaiah 45, verses 1 to 7, Psalm 96, Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 1 to 10, and the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 15 to 22. Let us pray. The Lord is here, and we will praise Him. The Lord is here, and we will worship Him. The Lord is here, and we will trust Him. The Lord is here, and we will honor Him. The Lord is here, and He has called us to give Him all the glory. Amen. His name is Mighty, and He is the Lord. His name is Creator, and He makes all things new. His name is Sustainer, and He holds us in the palm of His hand. His name is Savior, and He died in our place. His name is Forgiveness, and He can be trusted to heal and to bless. His name is Holy, and He is the one that we have come to worship. His name means He is worthy to receive all we have and all we are, forever and ever. Amen. Lord, we come to You, the source and center of all our hope. We come to You longing to trust You more, ready to confess the poverty of our faith. We come to wait patiently, to be still in Your presence. We come that Your love and Your kindness, Your truth and Your holiness might touch and change our lives. We come that in our worship, our coming might be a confession that You first came to us and for us. We come, and our coming is in itself a prayer of commitment. We pray that You will speak to us, Lord, that we may speak and serve in Your name. Amen. We have the hymn, All People That on Earth Do Dwell. We pray the collect for proper 24, followed by our parish prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, in Christ you have revealed your glory among the nations. Preserve the works of your mercy, that your church throughout the world may persevere with steadfast faith in the confession of your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness. All to your honor and glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled, The Things That Are God's. The Things That Are God's. Our Gospel today, from Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 to 22, speaks of an event which took place in the last week of Jesus' life. He is in the temple in Jerusalem, ministering to the people. The chief priests and elders confront him. Jesus drove out the buyers and sellers and overturned the tables of the money changers. The chief priests and elders challenge Jesus' authority to do these things. In order to trap Jesus and make a case for his arrest, the Pharisees and others question Jesus with what seems to be an impossible question. In other words, a trick question. They ask, "Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" As a people subject to Rome, every adult male was expected to pay an annual head tax. They were required to pay one denarius, the equivalent of a day's wage for the average laborer. In other words, the minimum wage. However, the Jews were very much opposed to this tax. It was a reminder that they were, as a people, in subjection to Rome. In addition, the tax had to be paid in the Roman currency, the denarius, a coin which bore the emperor's image and an inscription that attributed divine status to the emperor. For the Jews, this was against the second commandment, which forbade them the use of graven images and the claim by anyone to a divine nature, as the emperor claimed. To possess such a coin was regarded as idolatry by many in the Jewish religious groups. How would Jesus answer? If he said it was lawful to pay taxes to the emperor, he would be seen to be on the side of Rome, the oppressors, and therefore could not be regarded as a true Jew, one worthy to be a prophet, to proclaim the kingdom of God. Jesus would lose credibility. If, on the other hand, he said it was not lawful to pay taxes to Rome, he would be seen as a subversive and revolutionary leader who would be an enemy of Rome. Jesus answers their question with a response that requires quiet reflection in order to reveal its depth and truth. After asking them to identify the image and inscription on the dineros and their response, the emperor's, Jesus gives his response. He says, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." Matthew chapter 22, verse 21. The chief priests and elders were amazed, and they left him and went away. Verse 22. The question remains, however, what belongs to the emperor? Yes, the emperor has authority and power over the covenant people, but from whom that authority and power comes? The emperor's power and authority comes from God. God gave power and authority to whom God wills. The emperor would have no power unless it was given to him from above. The writer of the book of Genesis states that God created the heavens with the sun and moon and stars and all living plants and animals, including human beings on the earth. Therefore, everything belongs to God. While God called the descendants of Abraham into a special relationship, God acknowledged that the other nations would be blessed by the covenant people. Why? Because the other nations belong to God as well, though not a covenant people. An examination of the lives of the prophets illustrates that God spoke with power and authority to the other nations, Israel's neighbors, including Egypt, Ammon, Moab, and all the others. In our Old Testament lesson today from Isaiah 45, God speaks through the prophet to Cyrus, king of Persia. Cyrus is referred to as his anointed. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped to subdue nations before him and strip kings of their robes to open doors before him, and the gates shall not be closed. Isaiah 45, verse 1. In the Old Testament, only kings and high priests are anointed. When Aaron and his descendants were selected to serve as high priests, they were ceremonially washed with water and anointed. Exodus 40, verses 12 to 15. When David was selected from among his brothers to be king of Israel, the prophet Samuel anointed him. The fact that the Persian king Cyrus, a foreigner and non-Israelite, could be designated as anointed indicates that Cyrus, a foreigner, belongs to God. God gave him power and prosperity. God made him king of Persia, and God used him as God's instrument to release God's people from captivity by the Babylonians, and God directed him to decree that the Judean exiles be returned to their homeland in order for them to rebuild Jerusalem and the temple. Cyrus, king of the Persian Empire, belonged to God. In our epistle from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 to 10, Paul is writing to the Gentiles in Thessalonia, God's people becoming disciples of Christ by the ministry of Paul, a Jew sent to bring the good news of Christ to the Gentiles, also God's people. In Psalm 96, the psalmist invites all the earth to sing to the Lord. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the whole earth. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be revered among all gods. Psalm 96, verses 1, 3, and 4. The psalmist acknowledges God as sovereign over all nations, in fact, over all the earth. And he proclaims that he is coming, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. Psalm 96, verse 13. The question therefore remains, what things belong to God? Again, out of the experience of the children of Israel and their God, the psalmist makes a definitive statement. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it. We are therefore called as disciples of Christ to give to God the things that are God's. Everything belongs to God. As part of our mission, we are to treasure God's creation, to preserve, conserve, and use its resources wisely, and therefore be able to pass it on to the next generation in a better state than we received it. We are reminded that we belong to God. God's Son paid with his life to redeem us from sin and death. We are therefore called to commit our gifts in the service of God, and we serve God best by serving each other. We are to render to God the whole of our lives and submit it utterly to the governance of God's will. We have our command. Give to God the things that are God's. Amen. Let us pray. Praise the Lord, for he is good. Sing to God with thanksgiving. King of love, all things come from you and belong to you. Take our lives and consecrate them in your service. Keep your church focused on our hope in you and your hold on your creation. Praise the Lord, for he is good. Sing to God with thanksgiving. King of love, in your Christ's response to those seeking his entrapment, he reminded them not to put you to the test. Open our hearts to truth and justice. We pray for all who call political leaders to account. Praise the Lord, for he is good. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. King of love, You provide for all that we need to sustain our lives. Give us faith to place our money completely at your service. Make us wise stewards of this currency of action. Praise the Lord, for he is good. Sing to God with thanksgiving. King of love, proclaim your release to all in the grip of death and poverty. Give consolation to the anxious and despair. Restore our true fortunes, O Lord. Praise the Lord, for he is good. Sing to God with thanksgiving. King of love, the fullness of your glory is hidden from our sight. Draw into the bright splendor of your presence all who have died. You call us by name, and we will rejoice with you forever. Praise the Lord, for he is good. Sing to God with thanksgiving. As our Savior Christ had commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours.
Create a virtual.
Now and forever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. We have the hymn For the Beauty of the Earth.
For the love which from our
Let us pray. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward, save that of knowing we do your will. And in that service, O God, we pray that you will continue to make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us so love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And may God bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace this day and always. Amen. And we pray that you will have a productive, spirit-filled week where we continue to acknowledge that everything belongs to God, and we are committed to love and serve each other and preserve and conserve God's creation. We end with the hymn, He's Got the Whole World in His Hands.